If we believe as Jesus believed that God is love, and we might even say omnipotent love, that God is a loving Father, if we believe that, then it's quite rational and logical to believe in the resurrection. If we believe that God is love, it would rationally and logically follow that he would send himself in such a way that we have no mistake about his essence was love. That's why he sent his son as he sent his son. So that we see in his life and especially in his death, the very heart of God. That's the message that God wanted you to know about him, that he is love. And if we believe that God is love, he could not possibly have left his son in that tomb. Had he left his son in that tomb, it would bring really serious questions about whether God is love or not. And if we believe, as Jesus believed, that he will make a way for us, that death will not be the end for us, it rationally and logically follows in believing that God is a loving God. Everything follows from that. My friends, I believe that those who believe in eternal life, that belief makes a powerful, positive difference in the way they live and who they are and how they see life, how they see themselves, how they see God. I also believe, conversely, for those who do not believe in a life after this life, that I think it has a very powerful, negative impact on the way they live, the sense of themselves and purpose and meaning in life. It's kind of like when we don't believe that there's a life beyond this life and death ends everything, it also takes with it any kind of sense of meaning and purpose in this life. That's the importance of life beyond this life, that it empowers us with a strong sense of meaning and drive and strength. Shakespeare has one of his characters to say that life is a tale told by an idiot signifying nothing, full of sound and fury, but signifying nothing. Well, that's without resurrection, that can be truthfully and it logically follows. Some people have said, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Now, I haven't met many of those people that were so heavenly minded they were no earthly good, but there are a few that are absolutely obsessed with this in a way that it takes away from their life on earth. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, those people who have been the most heavenly minded are the very ones who've done the most work on earth. That's the paradox, and that's how it works. A view of life beyond this life brings power into our lives. Now, for example, the moment that you become a believer in God and understand that a loving God created you, then you're going to look at people differently. You're not going to treat them as a thing or as a material entity. And I think of our founding fathers. They, every one of them, by the way, believed in God and believed in a life after this life. Even old Thomas Jefferson, even with his Jefferson Bible, which he removed, everything that was supernatural, even in his letters to John Adams at the close of his life, they talked about what it was going to be like in the next life. But I believe our founding fathers, because of their belief in who God was, they brought a little bit of heaven down in the form of the government that we have. And that's how it works. The heavenly minded are those who build the hospitals and build the colleges and build the nursing homes. Historically, that's true. If you don't believe it, you don't have to go back to the birth of Christianity. Just look around you. What are the hospitals all around us here in Cincinnati? Well, it's Mercy Hospital. It's Methodist Bethesda Hospital. It's Good Sam Hospital, and I've just been down to Good Sam 2 times last week. It's a monstrous edifice there, but that first occurred in the minds and the hearts of religious people because they were heavenly minded. And we pray, do we not, in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're the people who are praying for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven, and we do that by seeing that there is a heaven, there is a life beyond this life. It brings power and strength and hope and new beginnings and excitement about this life and who we are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my wife and I, we had a retirement party 15 years ago at First United Methodist Church. 15 years ago. And And it was a great party. And it really was a party. They wanted to call it the retirement celebration. I said, please don't call my leaving a celebration. So we changed it to the retirement party. And here we were, some 280 of us gathered in the Salvation Army dining hall. And all of our friends were there. But they made a video of that whole thing. And Ann and I, for 15 years, it's been on a shelf. We've never looked at it. So here another retirement's coming up. And my son wanted a video of these retirements of 15 years ago. And we got it out. And for the first time, we looked at it. And there were lots of jokes. Dan Snyder, a Lutheran minister, a friend of mine that you know, he was there that night, and he got up, and of all the jokes he could have told, he said, I heard about a pastor in a church at such and such a place that the people disliked him so much they couldn't wait for him to leave. Now, is that sounding like that was fitting for my retirement? And so he was so frustrated that when he preached a sermon on one Sunday morning, after the end of the sermon, he said, now, my friends, Jesus has told me that it's time for me to move on. And he said, now, is there anyone here that would like to select a hymn for us to sing? And a voice in the back stood up and said, yes, let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Now, Dan Snyder brought this to my retirement party. And he also, and these are jokes I told him. And he said, let me tell you another one that Pastor Montgomery told me. He said one time that he knew that he had to spice up his sermons with some humor and some jokes. And so that Grant had heard a joke at a conference somewhere. And it was about a man who said, I spent the first half of my life in the arms of another man's wife. And at that conference, they were so shocked. But with a necessary pause, then he said, it was my father's wife. Did you get that? So he said, Grant came back to his congregation and he wanted to tell that story. And he said, Grant said, I've spent the first half of my life in the arms of another woman. But Grant couldn't remember who it was. Now, these are the things that go on at your retirement party. But what really got to me as I watched that two-hour video was that so many of the people that were there 15 years ago are no longer here. And I looked at that video and I could see people that I just loved and knew so well and had had such a great relationship with them and knew them like I knew my own soul. There, for example, was Carl and Marcia Sipple. They were there. Well, there they were, live and in color, but they're not around anymore. And also there was Buck and Pearl Bowling, the parents of Janet Skinner. They were there. My sister, Margaret, who has passed away, she was there. And full of life and laughing. And my brother, Virgil, that's passed away, he was there. And Ann Carr was there, and Don Fitton and Grace Fitton were there, and Billy Martin were there. And as I go and looked at all of those faces, all at once to think that they were all gone, it got to me. But then I remembered what Paul said, don't grieve like those who have no hope. And even though I still miss those people, I still grieve about it, my feeling had nothing to do with a sense of despair. Because you see, people who believe in a life beyond this life, they grieve and they grieve deeply because of the depth of their love. But they never grieve in despair. They grieve in a resurrection hope. And on that same night, I remember Don Fitton, and I see Woody Fitton is here today. That was his uncle. And they had a quartet. Dave Brownfield was there. And those suckers, you know what they did? They got up to sing a quartet, and they sang, I want a girl like a girl that married dear old Grant. And dear old Grant was lucky to marry a girl like dear old Grant. So they put that together. But aren't you glad, ladies and gentlemen, that we in this faith, some of you are not going to be here next year. And if you're not here next year and you've gone to the Father's house, we know your address. And we're going to grieve about your not being here. I might not be here, but listen, the power of the resurrection means that this life is not the only life. There is life beyond this life. And I believe in knowing that, that gives us power and strength and joy and meaning and purpose in this life. It releases that kind of power. Paul said, I consider the suffering of the present time. There's lots of suffering. But he said, you know, son, it's nothing compared to the glory that God has waiting for us. The comparison. And he said, I'm persecuted. He listed at least 19 ways he had been put in jails and beaten and that sort of thing. But he said, I endure. Notice the word endure. I endure by seeing the invisible realities of God. It brings power. That belief brings power. It changes how we think, how we live, how we feel. Well, what is not going to be in heaven? Well, let me tell you a few things is not going to be there. Then I'm going to let you go your way until next Easter. Because, see, that's the reason I'm doing this, because I don't get this chance but once a year. There'll be no tears in heaven. The Bible says in Revelation, God himself will wipe away all the tears from people's eyes. It's over. No more tears, unless they're tears of gladness, but no more grief, no more sorrow in that place. There'll be no death there. There'll be no heartbreaks there. There'll be no goodbyes there. And I hate to say goodbye. It's one of the hardest things I do. There'll be no contemporary or traditional worship there. They're all going to be together. We will not struggle with that. There'll be no hospitals there. You won't even need a health care plan there. No nursing homes. No hospices. No funeral homes, thank God. No ambulance service shrieking through the days and nights. No retirement communities. There'll be no wars there, no locks there, no security systems there, no life lock security systems there. And they probably will not be any cell phones there. And no taxes. That's enough to lure some of us to heaven, right? There will be no taxes there. You can count on it. We'll not be there. No unemployment. No drug stores. I'm sorry about that. To my good friend Austin Gleason, no drug stores in heaven. And no hate and no self-centered pride. But let me tell you something else that's not going to be there. There will be no boredom there. I don't know about you, but the idea of playing a harp floating around in clouds and walking on streets of gold just bores me to tears. What kind of eternal life is that? But here's what will be there. There will be, first of all, a great reunion that I've alluded to. We are going to know each other. Can you imagine just for a second what that's like? There'll be lots of surprises there. The scripture tells us there'll be lots of surprises. And the scripture does tell us that we can't really know what's there because it hasn't even entered into the minds of men what God has prepared for them. But we can rest one thing for sure, there'll be a lot of surprises. But there'll be lots of growth. You're going to never, ever stop growing. You know, in this life, because some brokenness in our own lives, we have a real problem with continuing to grow through this life. And in our own sins and the world around us sometimes impede what God has put in us. It is said that we use only 10% of our minds. And think about that locked in us in this life, never getting out. Well, eternity means, brother and sister, that there it is going to get out. That all that God put in you, he knew in the beginning that it would take all of eternity to get it out. There'll be no boredom in heaven. You're going to be too busy. Victor Hugo said, I have written many books about history and drama and play and classics, and you've read Les Miserables. But he said, as I approach my death now, I know that I have only used a tiny portion of what is in me. And I can't believe that death ends that. Well, there was a couple... There were some insects and worms decided to have a football game. And I could have made this a basketball game, but I'm a football fan. But anyway, they were having this great football game. Well, Team A was just really beating Team B. And as a matter of fact, by the halftime, it was 48-0 favor Team A. But then they came out for the second half. And this time, a centipede was on Team B, that thousand-legged worm. And brother, he just tore up Team A. And before the game was over, they won that game 50-some to 48. And one of the players on the opposite team came over and said to the centipede, "Where were you in the first half?" He said, "Well, I was busy putting on my shoes." Ladies and gentlemen, this life is just getting, we're just putting on our shoes in this life. But when we get to heaven, we're going to walk all over heaven. And God's going to unlock a future that amazes us. And this is not fantasy. It's based on the historical reality of Jesus Christ that lives in our life now. And if you will allow yourself in your imagination to begin to see that, you will find seeping into your own soul a new sense of strength and meaning and purpose in your life. You'll look at yourself differently. I am a forever person. I cannot be killed. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I can walk and hold my head high in this life, and I can walk through every funeral breathing that sense of something more is beyond. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living presence among us this day. We're thankful, Father, that your love finds us in so many ways, always in the process of resurrecting those parts of ourselves that we have repressed and lost touch with, that your resurrection power, your love, is simply calling those things forth in this life. And help us to see the cross and the resurrection as means of liberation to become truly on this earth people who are on their way to heaven and unlock the beautiful power that heaven brings to us in this life. Amen and amen.